Voice carries, there it goes.
Yeah, it carries good.
Boy, it really carries now, don't it? So, you know what, this has nothing to do with what worship's supposed to be, but I was preaching in one of my small churches one time, and I was worried about people hearing me, and one of the dear people in the back, I think he was 97, and they said he hadn't heard a word in 10 years, and I was worried about him hearing me. He looked at me and said, "Preacher, you don't need to worry about us hearing. You just need to put a sock in your mouth." But when you're 97, you say what you want to. You know what I'm saying? And so, anyway, it has nothing to do with anything. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm glad that y'all are here. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the beauty of it, for the love that is part of who we are, because that you love us so much, and for the journey through Lent. We are nearing that time of Passion Palm Sunday. We are nearing that time of death through crucifixion. And we are nearing that time of resurrection. Help us in this journey to look at ourselves fully. Let us be aware of who you are. And let us know your grace is walking with us. Now let us worship you in the fullness of this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "Lead On, O God Eternal," page 580 or on the screens.
Stay standing for the Psalm 130, the Psalter on page 848 in your United Methodist hymn book, page 848 or on the screen. We will be singing the responses.
This way.
do it again.
Okay.
Yeah, one more time. Just for fun. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be worshipped.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and the Lord's word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
And the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities.
Before we begin our time of prayer, I would like to say a couple things about upcoming worships that you've already heard announced. On Passion Palm Sunday, the order of worship that you think you know, you don't know, okay? Passion Palm Sunday will be a completely different order than you may have ever seen here before. And so come expecting something great and fun to happen, but we're going to work through both the palm part of the service and the passion part of the service together on that morning in different ways. So come and be prepared to join in that. And then I would also say to you on Monday, Thursday, for those who were with us on our first Sunday here, our daughter Lindsay is going to come and play and be with us that night and sing a special for us. So she's coming up from her home in Chattanooga to be with us for that evening. And then I'm going back to their home on Friday and be with them on Good Friday service. So just know that that we're doing that, so she'll be with us. I do want to ask for prayer requests, and Keith was nice enough to come up and tell me ahead of time because he knows I can't hear. He was nice enough to come up and say to me prayer, for he has two unborn grandbabies, Piper and Paisley, who are going to have to, one of them possibly, probably going to have surgery after they're born, within 6 months, and the other that has fluid on their lungs, and they know this in the womb, so they're caring for them, but just know that they have that concern and hoping and praying for very healthy granddaughters to come and be part of their family. So want to lift that up. Thank you, Keith, for telling me. I can't hear Keith in the back, and he knows that, so that's why he it's nice enough to come and let me know. Are there other prayer requests that we want to bring before the church this morning?
Brittany's down again this morning.
Brittany's down again this morning? We got to get her up.
I know.
So pray for Brittany and everybody that's there with her. Others.
Kathy Cole.
Say it again. For their
Kathy
death.
Cole.
Kathy Cole, that's right. We talked about it out front. I mean, you see how long my memory lasts. And so pray for Kathy. So let me, before we begin to pray, say to you that for the United Methodist Church and host an annual conference, this week is the weekend of prayer. They gathered yesterday for a time of prayer at four different sites within the annual conference. And then today we've been asked as a church to pray together. I want to say I'm very appreciative of what our bishop has done with this, is that she's not just asked for the United Methodist Church prayer, but she's asked for all those who have been part of the United Methodist Church and still will be, those who are disaffiliating and those who are remaining part of the church, to pray for them that God's will be found in their souls and that God will lead them and that God will lead all of us in a way that leads to God's righteousness. So the prayer has been for the entire church, including the entire church worldwide, and all those who are going through the wars and things that they're going through. So during our silent prayer time this morning, I would ask that you would lift up our neighbors who are no longer going to be part of the United Methodist Church and then those who are staying, and lift up the people around the world this day. So let us be in prayer together. Created in your image, loved before we were born, and in that love, O Lord, we do ask that you would be with Piper and Paisley and that you would bless them and that you would heal them even inside the womb before they are born so that they would be healthy. Or if you choose to let that happen afterwards, allow the surgeon to do as a surgeon would be led to do in a way that heals and gives strength, because we know that you guide that surgeon's hands. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the parents and that you would bless them as they go through the time of waiting for birth, and that you would walk that path with them in a way that only you can. We think about, oh Lord, that you are with us this day, that you're with us in our struggles, that you're with us in our joy and our salvation, you're with us in our doubts. That this morning you're with us in the emergency room, and you're a blessing at that moment, and you're giving breath that is free and clear, that you're allowing breath to take place, and that the hardness to breathe would go away and the strength to breathe would come, and that you would allow blood pressure to come down and everything to return to what is normal at this time. So we pray for the healing that way, that you are in that place, in that emergency room, just as much as you're in this sanctuary. For those of us in this place that need healing and strength, we pray for ongoing healing that seems to not go away with sickness. Continue to strive in Brittany, that you would bless her and give her that strength and healing, and that your love and that your caring would be with all that we pray for. And we do think about our church, both the Rockwood United Methodist Church, the churches that are on this charge, and then the church at large. You, O Lord, have a way to heal in the midst of turmoil. You have a way to heal in the midst of stress. You have a way to heal when healing seems that it cannot happen. You have a way to change our lives even when we think they cannot be changed. You have a way, O Lord, to walk with us and care for us in ways that we cannot imagine. So we pray for the church. The church where people worship in ways that we cannot fathom to worship, but they still worship Jesus. the church in places that shout and scream and raise their hands and walk up and down the aisles and jump pews, as of the church of my childhood. May they jump pews safely, but let them jump. For the churches that recite creeds and worship quietly, may the stillness of that moment give a peace in our soul that only God can give. And for every place in between that proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, bless them in the unity of the church. For while we may be separate denominations, and while we may have separate beliefs on different topics, may the central topic of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior be who we are and how we proclaim who we are. And may that central topic be a powerful statement to our soul and to the people around us. Open us to loving the people that we don't think we can love, and open them up to loving us. For indeed, we need love also. Now bless us this day. Heal us. Be with us. Walk with us and strengthen us. And empower us to be in your spirit. And in doing so, O Lord, we pray that you would teach us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'd ask our ushers to come forth this time, please. Let us pray together. The glory of God given to us for eternity, let us give back all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
going to stand with us and sing 170, Oh How I Love Jesus. And you've already heard it played today, so you should know it. And anybody, if y'all want to go down during this time of camp, you will stay up here. Whatever you want to do.
Standing, hear the word from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 1 through verse 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of these disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. In the joy of our salvation, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the strength of the one that gives everlasting life, let us hear these words. Let us live these words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sermon that I've entitled, "How Humble Are You?" fits very well with what we just sang. We all have a story. We have a story to tell to the nations. We have a story to tell to our families. We have a story to tell to anybody that will listen, if we're brave enough to tell the story. And yet our story remains sometimes very enacted in ourselves. Well, we don't share it and we don't let it go because sometimes we think we might be ashamed of our own story, of our own journey, of our own way of doing things. We might believe that our story isn't worth telling And yet we all have a story. We all have a journey that we've traveled. We all have moments in our life that have changed us and made us different. Have made us one together, has made us separate from each other. We have stories. So when you ask the question, how humble are you? Part of that question is involved in your story. What, do you think you're better than somebody else? Or not as good as the person sitting next to you? We all have a story. I keep having trouble with this thing, don't I? Mary Lynn makes it work perfect, and I get it, and it doesn't work. Did it take work out this morning? There we go. Story of humbleness. If you read this, they are 6 days before Passover. Passover for us, as we celebrate it, and I know we don't technically celebrate Passover. I mean, I get that. But Passover for us, we think of as Maundy Thursday. So Maundy Thursday night is when we celebrate, so our worship's at 7. I want you to think through this. On that Maundy Thursday night, we will come and we will celebrate on what, for the Jewish people, okay, I'm about to mess with you. I'm sorry, I just can't help it. For the Jewish people, the day begins at what time? 6 in the evening. It goes from 6 in the evening till 6 in the day. Evening and morning was the first day. It has that in Genesis, in case you hadn't read it. So when we come on Thursday night to celebrate Maundy Thursday, what day is it for the Jew? Friday. Just messing with you. Think through the process. So if you work through that, you understand that if we look at their time frame, 6 days before Passover, if you count back 6, you would have Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday, Thursday. You're technically 6 days for Passover. What would be this coming Thursday for us as we walk through in preparation for Holy Week? They're there for a dinner. The dinner is for Lazarus and Jesus. And they've come into the house. And so if they come into the house, I'll step up here. They would have had a bowl at the front door. So this is the front door. They would have had a bowl at the front door filled with water. And they would have had a towel sitting on the doorpost right by the lintel or the mantle of the door. Whether it be a dirt floor or a floor of somebody richer that had a floor of means, they would have walked in, they would have took their sandals off, and then they would have washed their feet, put their sandals against the wall, dried their feet with the towel that was hanging there, and then they would have entered the house, in this case of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That's how they would have walked into that time. So they come in and they all enter there, and obviously there's women there with them. And Mary comes up to Jesus. This is the story of humbleness. She comes up to Jesus, and when she walks up to Jesus, she bows down and she anoints his feet that have just been washed at the door. She anoints his feet with the perfumes and the oils in preparation for, as he will say later, his burial. And then, if you'll listen to this very carefully, she anoints him, and then she bends over further, and she takes the hair of her head, and she dries his feet. Now, in many cases, you might perceive this as inconceivable that you would bow down and dry somebody's feet with your hair. But if you take it farther to the moment of this writing, they're still living under Deuteronomic law that says hair should be a certain length for a woman, that it should be her pride and her glory, and that it is there to be kept in a certain way, and it is to be clean and to be rushed and to be in a place that looks like it should look for a woman of that time. For her to take her hair and dry Jesus' feet is a sign of humbleness beyond what we can possibly imagine in our life and our time and the way we live now. She has taken her pride and joy of what she looks like, who she is, and how she's defined by the law they live under. I'm not saying that's the law we live under, but the law they lived under. And she has been all the way to the ground, and she has dried his feet. Now, the onlookers of that time should have looked at that and should have been in awe of how humble she was. But what were they? Get that to go for me. Get Keith to do it for me, I guess. What were they? They weren't humble. You go to the next story. This is a story of greed. Judas. And I really wish the Bible, I mean, I know the Bible's trying to be helpful and John's trying to be helpful in the writing, but I really wish they'd left out the two set of writings that's in parentheses. If you go back and read this story, you pay attention to it very carefully, you watch as you're doing it, but Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, then has the inset, the one who's about to betray him. Leave that out for a second because they don't know this when it's happening. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and money given to the poor?" And then it explains it more. He didn't care about the poor, but I want you to see it as it says. Watch it out as it says here. Judas is making an argument for the poor. He doesn't want Jesus' feet to be cared for. He doesn't want anything to happen that way. He wants the money to come to him. The greed in him is amazing. But there's something else part of the greed story. Part of greed in selfishness is not wanting others to be treated in a better way than we are. If you've had children and you've given out Christmas presents, unless you gave the same present to everybody, which never worked because they're different age, your children will sometimes look at that and go, "But they love you more than me because look what I got, what you got, and I didn't get it." Churches are that way. I don't know if you know this or not. We look at people around us, the churches are growing and they're moving forward and they're having all these wonderful things, and we ask the question, why not us? It's a little greedy, don't you think? We'd rather take it from them instead of it be us. When the question ought to be, what is God's understanding of who we are at the moment? And who does God intend for us to be? And how does God want us to become that? And then praise God for their success. Praise God for their souls being saved. Claim the name of Jesus. We all be happy with their brothers and sisters. Whether we agree with them or not has no bearing. It's that understanding of praise. See, greed in this moment is wanting Jesus to not be anointed. Because involved in this is a story of death. We look at that and death becomes the next issue. How do we see that? Jesus at this point, if we watch the scripture, has 9 times told them, in John now, just John, okay, not the rest of the text, 9 times has told them he's going to die. Now friends, the apostles and most of the disciples don't get it. And now here she is, washing his feet, anointing him for burial, and he says to them, what she has done for my burial. She's doing it so that I can be fully and completely well at death. Think about that. Think about what is happening in this place at this moment. Think about all that's going on in this moment. Think about how it works and how they have all the emotion of that time. There's one person in the room besides Jesus we know that gets it. Who is that? Mary. The rest of them are going, huh? Now, none of y'all ever been to a meeting where you're sitting there and you're trying to say something to them and everybody's in the room looking at you like, what? What? They've lost their mind. We're not doing that anymore. The story of death here is so paramount to this conversation because we find out that they do not understand that he's going to die and that they're trying to set up. Remember, you're 6 days before Passover. You're 7 days before entrance into the city where the palms are being thrown and everybody's shouting about him. This is where you are when this is written. And you watch this and you find yourself, as we sit here, going, how did they not know? How many of y'all think you would have known? I'd probably be sitting there going, well, Jesus, tell us what you really mean. Just spit it out. Make it plain. In the language of my time. We're in this burial moment. And Jesus says something that almost goes against anything we think of. He looks at them and says, the poor you have with you always. Anybody here remember a time when there weren't any poor people? How many of y'all remember the time you were one of those poor people? Maybe still are. Jesus has fed the thousands, taken care of healing the sick. He's raised the dead. He's done all these different things. And then he says, the poor you always have. But you don't always have me. Now, you live in a different time. Do you know that? You always have Jesus. And we have Jesus how? Through the Holy Spirit. But remember, that hasn't happened yet. That hasn't changed yet. And so you have this marvelous moment when he tells you some moments are more important than other moments. The poor you always have. But at this moment, this act needed to take place because as she's preparing me for my death, she's doing what they do at burial. They're starting with the feet and they work towards the head. They prepare with the perfume from the feet to the head because the head's the crown of glory. And you do that last at the place of finishing. And you start at the feet. And so she is beginning with his feet going towards the head so he can be buried. And he is taking care, being taken care of by her. And they're worried about Judas is worried about his money. Tell you something about money. We need it. Amen? God will provide it. Amen? Sometimes you have to understand moments. I remember today in the hospital when I held my grandbaby who had just died. And I remember the day I stood at that graveside and did a sermon entitled On the Things We Will Miss and preached that sermon. My district superintendent was there. He showed up unannounced. The S's do that. and I was really happy he was there. He walked away and put his arm around and said, second greatest sermon ever preached. I said, what was the first? He said, that Sermon on the Mount thing. It was probably the greatest one ever preached. I never thought it was a great sermon. I was just sharing my feelings because I was at that moment. You've been in moments where the poor didn't matter, the rich didn't matter. You've been in those moments in your life that time almost stood still. You've lived those moments and you've seen them and you've watched them and you've been changed by them when time was just there. Well, we're at that moment. The hair has not dried yet from where she dried his feet. The perfume has filled the room. Jesus is telling them about his death. He's talking about his burial. He's doing all those different things. We're at that moment. And Judas is worried about money and we've got all this stuff going on, and he just simply says, you don't always have me. Now, I have to admit, as much as I'm a Holy Spirit person, and I believe the Holy Spirit's in this place right now, wouldn't you just like Jesus to come strolling down the aisle? Wouldn't you? I mean, just for a moment. Now, most of us would think it's an actor not actually being him, and we would just look at him and go, well, whatever. But wouldn't you love to see him walk down the aisle? How would you like to go home today? How was church? Well, pretty good. How was David? Long-winded as always. How'd things go? It was fair. How'd the choir do? Well, they were good. Anything happen? Well, not much. Jesus came. Stood in front. David sat down. Jesus preached. Wonder how that would go. Can I tell you a secret? Judas did just walk down the aisle. Sat in the pew right beside you. Put his arm around you. Hugged you. Told you how much he loved you. And anointed you with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Not bad for a regular Sunday morning. Huh? Not bad at all. Because, friends, that's what just happened to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. The oil's been poured. The perfume is being smelled. The feet are dry. The hair is wet. And the praise has just begun. May we walk to that death. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
So I'll stand and sing I Surrender All.
I will ever love and
So you can't stop that song until you talk about feeling the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And after the sermon I just preached, you can't leave the third verse out, so you just can't do that. So that's why we went there. Thank you for being here this day. I want to invite you to our Wednesday night Bible study at 6 o'clock, and then choir practice at 5. We would love for you to join us in both places. We actually have a good time, don't we? Yeah, we have a good time. And so, even in Bible study, we have a good time. Yeah, choir practice too. Invite you there, but also remember that Tuesday week, that's right, isn't it? Tuesday week, we have our time together at the First Christian Church, and I'm supposed to be there at 10:30, according to the boss down there. And so y'all, I think, are earlier, or later than that, but I'm supposed to be at 10:30, so I'll try to make it. So remember that and Monday, Thursday service. Let us pray together. What would it look like to surrender all, Lord? What would we have to, in our minds, give up? And in the Spirit's mind, walk into the fullness of God? Because we're always thinking about giving up, not having fun, not doing this, not doing that. When the freedom of knowing God is the best and most fun place I know to be. So let us surrender all. Let us walk in your salvation. Let us tell our story. And let us go in peace in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere you may go.
And go in peace.